Zechariah was an aging priest going to work that day, albeit in a very special place and at a high honor. But I don't think he expected an angel encounter. He'd been a priest, a faithful one, for decades, and nothing out of the ordinary so far. Now it's his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him to offer incense in the temple. And God breaks in. Incredible. He sends an angel. And angels are so common in the scripture. They showed up outside the Garden of Eden and told Adam and Eve, can't come in here anymore. They appeared to folks like Abraham and Joshua. You find them over and over in Revelation, almost 300 references to them. You search Google, you'll find a million hits, and about 999,000 of them are weird, but that's beside the point. So go to the scripture, and in your handout, I've given you a little bit of information with some references to angels, and because they are fascinating. They're created by God to serve him, and we, of course, know that some went astray and led to bad things. But angels are God's messengers, and they're sent to help his people. And often, they are preparing people for something God has them to do. It's interesting, the angels aren't just for the past, but they seem to be for the present as well. We're told in Hebrews 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The closest I've come to an angel encounter was a time in Trail not too long ago, but that's a story for another day. But you know, you get on the radio and you hear, hark the herald angels sing. Angels we've heard on high, angels from the realms of glory. Angels played a huge role in the birth of Jesus. The angel appeared to Zechariah, then to Mary, to the shepherds and others. And while angels are amazing and incredible, they are always pointing to God. And at Christmas time, Jesus is what it's all about. We're going to look at Zechariah's role in the Christmas story and how he was called to prepare. We're going to make our way through Luke 1. His was an up and down journey, very similar to what ours is like. But through it all, God was faithful to his word. If we look at verses 1 to 4, it's actually one long sentence in Greek. How would you like to diagram that in high school? Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all those things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you've been taught. Wow. But really what he's saying is, Theophilus, I've done my homework. I've checked it out. This is a straight scoop. And so in the very next little bit of this passage, when he says, by the way, angel showed up, Theophilus isn't going to think Luke is nuts. And I love how he begins this, because it reminds me of all those Charles Dickens-esque Hallmark Channel movies, where it starts out, the beginning of the movie is above the village. And the camera pans down through the clouds and past the rooftops and down into the street scene. And then there's it goes past the people walking on the streets and zooms in through the frosted glass window. And there's Tiny Tim sitting in his chair. And then we have the story of Tiny Tim. But he gives you this broad overview, and then he takes you right in. And here's what we find from, I've checked these things out, Theophilus. I want you to know it's true. So let's get into the details. We read in Luke 1, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And a whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Zechariah and Elizabeth are a faithful couple. by and large, they have loved God with their whole heart, soul, and mind. They have sought to do the right thing. They love each other. And yet they have sadness in their hearts because they've never had children. Zechariah never had the privilege of saying, "This is my boy," or "This is my daughter." And Elizabeth probably heard the rumors on the street. What must she have done to be able to not have children? Of course, it's not about what you do or don't do. It wasn't about it then or now when people don't have kids. But their hearts were heavy, and we know they had been praying. They'd cried out, and maybe it had been decades since they'd said, "Lord, give us a child." But that dream seemed to be long gone by now. Well, he would have spent as a priest 50 weeks a year serving in his home village. And then when his division, there were 24 divisions of priests, was called up, they would go to the Jerusalem temple and they would serve there for a 2-week period. And there would have been hundreds of priests involved. And so once in your life, you would be called to go into the holy place and offer the incense. It was an honor. And they drew the lots. It's like winning the lottery. It was like, if you were a priest, it was winning the lottery. Woohoo! And it was the high point of his career. And he goes in. He has prepared himself. He's taken all the ritual baths. He's said the necessary prayers. He spit shined his sandals. He did everything possible that he needed to do to be right with God. And he heads on in. And then we read in Luke 1:11, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. And Zacharias troubled when he heard him, and he fear fell upon him." But the angel has good news. When angels show up in the Bible, either they're killing people or giving good news. And you want to be on that side of the equation. But he says, "Don't be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife is going to bear you a son. You'll name him John. And he'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He'll be great before the Lord, and don't give him strong wine or drink. He'll be filled with the Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Wow, what a promise. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come, the Spirit would go, but he's going to have him inside his womb, and he's going to be a powerful man of God. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He'll go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah," the great prophet Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just." And here it is, "to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Incredible. Here is a choice servant of God told something that's even more wonderful than he gets to be the big poobah priest of the day. His prayers have been heard. That which he cried out to God for over and over and over, God has listened, God sees, God cares, God is doing something. And he's not only going to be giving a son, he is going to be given a son whose job is going to be to say, "Messiah is on the march." What incredible news. It turns out the priest who is to represent the entire nation before God at this moment has a crisis of faith. And we know from Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Romans, whatever is not so of faith is sin. Have you ever been on cloud 9 spiritually and then totally fallen off the cliff and come plummeted to earth? Get ready to hear Zechariah make a thud. And Zechariah says to the angel, "How am I going to know this? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years." Oh no, he did it. He said it. All his life, he has been faithful and doing a good job. And now it's his moment and he blows it. He doubts, he sins, he messes up. At his greatest moment, he flops. In junior high, we would have said, "Dude, he flubbed up major royally." I don't know what I would have done in his situation, but I'm in a place of spiritual authority and I have blown it in the past too. And it is awful. It is terrible. One moment, you're walking on the water, coming to Jesus. The next minute, you're about to drown because you took your eyes off Jesus. Well, Zechariah asked a reasonable question. He knew his biology, but unlike Mary, who was also asking the question, "How's this going to be?" He said it without faith. He didn't believe. And the angel sets him straight big time. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent from God to speak to you, and look what you've done. This is good news. But you're not going to be able to say a word until your son is born." You didn't believe my words, but trust me on this one. It's going to come to pass. Gabriel is mentioned several times, and everything that Gabriel was sent to say and do and tell people came to pass. And Zechariah didn't believe the truth. He faced the consequences. But he also said, your son is going to have an incredible role to play. And Zechariah, too, is the prophet's dad. And he's going to have to be a model of faith, even though he blows it now. He is going to have to be an example and to raise his son up to know God. And probably one of the first things he's going to learn, or he's going to tell his boy when his boy is old enough to understand, is, let me tell you about a crisis of faith, the time I blew it, John. But guess what? God was still faithful. You know, in some ways, Zechariah's failure showed exactly why Jesus needed to come. You know, and God had given the priesthood and the sacrificial system because we sin. And there needed to be a way to atone for our sin, to deal with it. But really, it was just a pointer to the plan God had, the coming of the Messiah. Hebrews 7 tells us, there have been many of those priests whose death prevented them from continuing office, but Jesus, because he lives forever, has a permanent priesthood. And therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to him, because he always lives to intercede. Zechariah would die, so would every other priest. But Jesus, though he would die, would be raised to life, and he fulfills that role perfectly forever. And Zechariah would sin, and we sin. And Zechariah would have to offer a sacrifice for his own sin as well as the people. But we read, we have a high priest that meets our need, one who is holy and blameless, pure, set apart, exalted, who doesn't need to offer sacrifices for his own sin. And the great thing is, he offers sacrifices once for all. It covers everything. And then he sits down at the right hand of the Father because it's finished. Oh, that's good news. Zechariah's imperfection would be dealt in the person of Jesus, the God-man sent to earth to bring us salvation. And Jesus meets our every need. We need to be reconciled with God. And God made a way to do so. Oh, that's good news. You know, but the thing I love and I've taken to heart this week is that God used an imperfect leader to prepare the way for the perfect leader. God takes the frail and the broken, and he does something beautiful anyway. But it's not all roses yet for Zechariah. The people are waiting for him, and they're wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he comes out, he couldn't talk. But here's the thing is, instead of his greatest triumph, he goes from the hero to zero, the pinnacle to the pit, just like that. But the story doesn't end. I'm so glad. It never has to end for God's people. We're weak, he's strong. We blow it, he never does. And remember, Zechariah had been chosen by God to help prepare the way for God's son. God loved Zechariah, and Zechariah did love God, even though he blew it. God still has a plan when you blow it. In our weakness, though I hate my weakness, and I don't want to do the things I do, and I do the things I don't want to do, God still uses frail people for his plan. There were consequences, and I face consequences, you face consequences, but rejoice. God wasn't finished with him. He's not finished with me, and he's not finished with you. God didn't cast him away because he repented of his sin. We know he listened. That's all he could do. But God was at work. And God responded because God knew his heart. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. And he picked himself up. He finished his duties at the temple, whatever they were, however long. I hope it was the very end of his shift. For his sake, he went home. And after these days, his wife conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me. He took away my reproach. God wasn't done with him. Zechariah did what his role in making things happen, and it took this time, and she had a son. They named him John, the name he was told, even though the crowd gathered and said, what are you going to name him? John. And you know, John means God is gracious. Isn't that a good thing to remember? God is gracious. And every time Zachary would have seen him, he would have said, God is gracious to give me a son. God is gracious that he didn't wipe me out. He's gracious to me. He's gracious to you. And guess what happened? He wrote on his thing during John's circumcision. He wrote on a tablet. He communicated it. His name is John. And immediately his mouth was open. His tongue was loosed and began to praise God. And the neighbors were filled with awe, and they say, wow, what's this child going to be? The Lord's hand on him. Zechariah started well. He stumbled and fell, but he ended well. He took to heart his failure. He did things differently. He repented, and God filled his heart with praise. And he would raise his son the way God told him to. And his son would learn from his father and learn from God and prepare the way for the Messiah. God doesn't waste your hurts, your hang-ups, your habits, the horrible things you've done. He can use them in yours and mine. Now, this passage isn't just about Zechariah. It's not just about Elizabeth or John. It's ultimately about Jesus. And that's whom we really want to be preparing our hearts to meet. The King is coming. We want to be ready. You know, we will be decorating after church, and many hands make light work. We're going to be doing different things at church this season, which will be special. I want to encourage you to take time in your homes to get ready. Read the Christmas story. Read prophecies about Jesus. Read about Jesus. Maybe attend a special concert. There's going to be a great one next Saturday at the Fellowship. It's free. Pray for someone else to experience Christmas for the first time. Maybe visit with a neighbor. Tell them Merry Christmas. You know, I dusted off Handel's Messiah a couple days ago and listened to the whole thing, and it was balm to my soul. You know, God came to make us right with him, and it's so good. Maybe you need to repent and be right with him. Do so. Maybe you need to get right with him the first time. Do so. Maybe he's in the midst of chipping away at sin patterns in your life, and it hurts a lot. Well, know he has good in store for you. He's making you more like Jesus. And the more you come on like Jesus, the more God will be glorified. But guess how? The last thing we hear about Zechariah is good news indeed. It's in Luke 1:67-80. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You'll go on to prepare before the Lord a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. God prepared Zechariah, who prepared his son, to prepare the way for God's son. Are you preparing for Christmas? What steps do you need to take? The Christ to Christmas is calling. Prepare him room. Lord God, we look to you. We thank you, Lord, for this story of what you did in the life of an older man of faith who didn't have his best moment ever. But Lord, you weren't done with him. And he went on, O Lord, to give you praise and honor and to do what you called him to do. Thank you, Lord. We can celebrate the Christ of Christmas, our Savior, born to us. In your name I pray, amen.